Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, one Wellington peanut butter company has gone, where no Kiwi food company has gone before. Last year, nut butter brand Fix and Fog was approached by NASA. Yes, that NASA, with a request for a space rocket-approved product. After months of working with the space agency to find the perfect delivery and storage pouch, Fix and Fog's nut butter was launched into space on a recent six-month mission. So to find out a bit about how this all came about, I'm joined now by the co-founder and CEO of Fix and Fog, Roman Jewell. Roman, kia ora, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Emil. Thanks for having me on.
So, look, how did NASA find out about your nut butter in the first place? Do you know the story behind it?
Oh, I do. It's a funny little tale. It's one we probably couldn't have thought would ever happen in our wildest dreams, to be honest. This is not something we went out hunting for. I wouldn't even know how to go about contacting NASA and connecting with them on this sort of level. But this is a really, I think, kind of organic and a natural tale. I think it says a lot about this little country that we live in and how people are connected so closely to other people. But we're lucky enough to have lots of fans, I suppose, in New Zealand and now these other markets that we export to. And we learned, like, a few years ago, one of our fans in New Zealand was sending jars overseas to friends and family. And one of those friends was an American astronaut based in the United States.
Right.
And this astronaut, as we've been told, fell in love with the product, became part of their daily routine, and then got selected to go on to a mission up to the International Space Station. And that's when NASA got in touch, asking if we could help supply the crew for that mission.
That is so good. When they first got in touch with you, did you know it was the NASA at the start? Or did you think someone was maybe trolling you? Or maybe you were like, oh, this must be the Northern Argentina Seagull Association.
I don't think it was the Seagull Association, but because we'd been communicating with the astronaut, we kind of knew that this was going to come up. And
right.
NASA uses a special food lab to help prepare its food, but also to vet and test it. And so that food lab out of Houston got in touch with us on the back of the comms that we'd been having with that particular astronaut. So we knew it was serious. The next question, though, is like that we had to ask ourselves is whether we could actually deliver.
Yeah.
Could we fulfill what NASA wanted? Because I had no idea about space travel and how food behaves in space and what NASA's requirements are. So we started from ground zero, essentially.
What were their requirements? Can you talk about them? Like, what sorts of hoops did you have to jump through to get your product into space?
Yeah, well, I can tell you we kind of jumped through all the wrong hoops first.
Right.
This probably isn't most flattering, but I guess, like I was saying at the start, this is something we never expected would happen, so we weren't necessarily prepared or geared up for it.
Yeah.
But I naively thought that we could just send NASA our product and they would look after it on their end for whatever purposes they needed to, pack it or whatever. So I sent them glass jars because that's what we have. That's what we package our peanut butter here in New Zealand. And I got a pretty stern no on that one when those jars arrived. And it was quite obvious when they explained why we couldn't pack glass jars.
But you didn't know. That's a bit unfair. It seemed big, sternly worded letter.
I just pleaded ignorance, a bit of naivety. but then the kind of the onus was put back on us that if we wanted to work with them, if we wanted to supply the International Space Station, we needed to have ready-to-go pouches. And so the hunt began for us here in New Zealand to try and find a pouch that would work with our product. And what we developed is a 275-gram pouch, essentially. It's a soft, lightweight plastic pouch, but then there were some challenges because our product, it's not like a yogurt, which is quite runny.
Yeah.
It's quite, peanut butter, almond butter, they're quite tacky, quite viscousy. So we needed to find a nozzle that would be large enough so that the astronaut went up and zero gravity could either pipe or squeeze the product out. And we ended up having to cobble together different components. So we tracked down a what you call an extra wide nozzle. It's about 18 millimetres in diameter. And that was kind of the magic piece that would let us work with the pouch. And that process, it kind of sounds easy to describe to you, but that whole piece of research took around 6 or 7 months.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't even know where to begin looking for something like that. I can imagine that, you know, the small parts of this would be probably the most difficult to get over the line to go and find, especially if you go in and blind.
Yeah, that's right. And at the start, there was kind of an intermediary step where we thought, oh, well, glass jars, you know, it's a hard no. Could we look at plastic and then what sort of, like, foil film would we need to seal on top of the jar before we put the lid on top? And that was a little bit tricky as well. So the pouch ended up, you know, it seems so obvious, but it was definitely the best vehicle for us to deliver the product to NASA. And it was also the lightest weight. So the kind of another thing you learn on this journey is that, you know, weight is really important when you're trying to fly things out of the air, but you want everything as light as possible. And so the pouch kind of fulfilled that, you know, tick box as well.
Just, this might be a dumb question, but why can't you send glass jars to space?
Well, I think the risk of breakage is a bit too scary.
Yeah.
You bang into a wall up there and you have shards of glass
flying around everywhere.
it's not the best. So I think NASA kind of will do anything to mitigate that, and that's what we have to work with.
No, I shouldn't laugh. I'm just thinking of an episode of The Simpsons where there are ants flying around in space because, oh, look, don't worry about it. It's funny.
Well, also, I think, though, there are no dumb questions with this sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like you, like we have to just start and learn and ask. And another question that we kind of asked ourselves was, like, didn't necessarily ask it explicitly of NASA, but we felt really privileged to be have this request. And then I thought, but why is NASA coming to talk to a New Zealand-based nut butter manufacturer? Surely they have strict guidelines of and contracts and agreements already in place about the food that does travel up to the space station.
Yeah.
One thing I learned is that there are over 200 different food items that get flown up typically to a mission. And within that 200, there's a little bit of bandwidth.
Right.
That's for the crew to be able to say to NASA, these are the other items, that the personal items, the preferential items that I would like to take with me up on this mission. So these men and women are away for 6 months. It's a really long time, and it's also quite demanding. They work really hard. They conduct a lot of science experiments when they're up there. So to have your personal favourites from back home, and, you know, if I think about it for myself, like, I want that nice cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
People might think, oh, I want my Vogel's toast, or other people might think, I want my 6 and 4 peanut butter. Yeah. We fell into that camp. So this particular astronaut really wanted to take one of these kind of nice favourites, and it, you know, we're lucky enough that it was us, up into space, because it's really important for morale, it's really important for mental well-being. There's only a few other people up there with them. So, you know, if you can get these little nice moments up there, and food can be one of them, it's a really nice thing for them.
That must be such a cool feeling from your point of view, to be someone's comfort food to the point where they are going to space and they can request pretty much, you know, within reason, any sort of normal-ish item to take up with them. And of all of the things in the world, they choose fix and fog nut butter.
Yeah, it's a massive privilege. It's kind of mind-blowing, really. But but on another level, it sort of makes sense. And I think peanut butter, your favourite peanut butter, people might relate it to their favourite type of tea or their preferred toothpaste that they might buy. You just kind of have these food items in your life that are sticky, I think, that you just like having that particular thing every day. And so, yes, an astronaut's taken that, but also, you know, I know of people that have put it in their suitcase and taken away on overseas holiday with them. You know, we get a lot of people taking photos of our product around the place. I've seen it down in Scott Base and other sorts of areas. So we're also lucky in that sense that people really love what we do, and they'll carry it with them wherever they go.
Now, here's a question. Is crunchy peanut butter a choking hazard in space?
Oh, I don't think so. I hope not. You're scaring me now. No. Depends on the size of the crunchy piece.
Yeah, I suppose so.
No, it's not, but the way that they'll consume it is either they'll suck it from the pouch, or I've been told that they get low crumb bread. I have no idea what low crumb bread looks like.
Yeah.
I think it's the same logic that you don't want lots of bits of
exactly, yeah,
food particles floating around. I have a feeling it looks a little bit like a flatbread or a taco or something like that. But yeah, that's how I suspect that they're going to be eating it.
That's great. And so is this just a one-off or is it an ongoing thing?
Well, I'd hope it's an ongoing thing. I mean, we're just kind of fist pumping even just to get the first request. There's certainly a good possibility that it can continue. We've built the relationship with the food lab. They've tested, they've vetted our product, they're happy with it. It made the launch.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been tossed out earlier. We could have failed on some food test. The pouch could have leaked. You know, so we kind of passed all those requirements. So I'd like to think we've proven ourselves and that we can be trusted to work with again. Hopefully the feedback from the crew up there is good and they enjoy the experience of having our nut butter up in space. So you never know. Really happy that it just happened in the first place. I'd like to think maybe NASA's eyes have been opened a bit wider and they'll look down this part of the world more for food and things, and that Kiwi producers can be trusted to deliver like we do. So, yeah, you never know.
What is it about New Zealand? You know, we've got a number of really, really well-regarded, high-quality nut butter companies in this country. Are there elements particular to New Zealand that make this a good country for producing nut butter?
I think across the board, Kiwis are pretty passionate about their food. I think we enjoy good quality food. So I think in that sort of space, you know, there can be lots of good nut butter producers. We're lucky enough to be one of them. I think we also care about health, and you know, the good producers here just typically stick to nuts and a little bit of sea salt. There's no, you know, you go to America and you kind of pick up labels and you can't understand half of it, or a large chunk of it is palm oil or sugar. So we steer away from that. So I think natural, premium, healthy nut butters have been able to thrive here because that Kiwis have been open enough to accept it, enjoy it and back it. Yeah.
And look, just finally on this, there is surely some marketing hay to be made here. One that sprang to mind to me was Fixin' Fog, the flavour is out of this world. You can have that one for free. any that are you guys trying to come up with similar puns for the next round of marketing?
Oh, there's been all sorts of really bad one-liners going around. Someone was trying to say to me, onwards and upwards, literally, which I quite like. We work pretty closely with New Zealand Trading Enterprise. I was trying to tell them that we've just forged a new export market for food. Maybe they'll go with that or not, I'm not too sure. But I don't know. It's good to have a bit of fun with this. At the end of the day, like, you know, we need to do a really, you know, good job, make healthy food that's delicious, but we kind of got to have fun along the way. So
yeah, no.
I think if there's ever an opportunity to slot in a good pun, I'm always up for it.
Great stuff. Rob and Jill, congrats once more. Really nice talking to you this evening, and all the best for the future.
Yeah, thanks, Emil. Thanks for chatting.
And that was Roman Jewell, the co-founder and CEO of Fixin' Fog, which is sending its peanut butter to the International Space Station.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.